They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
It's all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel in.
Put out all points, bulletin. We'll set him roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order.
Attention.
A
new world order.
Attention.
This is an emergency. We speak an emergency.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
What kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time to catch Jones.
Radio program.
And now for something completely different.
Okay, folks, let me get my headphones on so I can hear myself. This is Dutch Jones. This is the Dutch Jones radio program. It is April the 26th, 2010. It's about 5.05 p.m. Pacific time, and this is the first of 2 hours for this Monday edition of the Dutch Jones radio program. We come to you live Monday through Friday for 2 hours a day on U Broadcast and on 1 hour, 4 days a week on Liberty Tree Radio. So they probably don't kick in until the second hour, I think. I haven't worked it all out with them, but it's nice to know that we're being picked up and brought out to a whole other group of listeners. It's a completely different kind of listening group over there. I don't know if they'll like the show or not. We'll figure it out. But this is a Christian militia worldview, or a militant Christian worldview. If you look in the Webster's 1828 dictionary and look up militant, its definition, number two definition, will be the church militant at war with evil. So that's a paraphrase there, but I encourage you to Google the 1828 Webster's dictionary. It's an excellent source because it uses the definitions for the words around the time period that our founding fathers were doing things. So I know it's 1828, it's a little later, but then we can get things in context. We use it often here. If you look at the pictures, if you're actually on U Broadcast listening and you can see the pictures, I'm standing in a library there with my airsoft gun and some of my tactical gear. I'm surrounded by books, so I make references to a lot of books. I spend my days reading books and researching on the internet, and I try to share that with you. It's been a long weekend. Got that 24-hour bug that everybody was getting. It was kind of weird. It lasts like 22, 23 hours. I don't know why they call it a 24-hour bug. But it comes out of nowhere and leaves just as fast, so that was kind of a weird thing there. Had some good fellowship at church on Sunday. We didn't have any training this week. We do that on the third weekends of the month. Third weekends of the month are our training. And next month's training is going to be the long-range shooting simulator. I know we have a range here, but we've brought in a shooter-ready program that Lou got me for, I can't remember if it was my birthday or Father's Day, but he got me the program, and it's probably my birthday because Father's Day hasn't happened yet this year. Shooter-ready shooter software, it's an interactive shooting game. You don't shoulder a weapon or anything, but you add the data and you move your cursor around and your crosshairs, and you have to get the dope correct, and you shoot long range several different types of weapons. So we're going to be using that in the church on a big screen TV. Just a refresher course for those of you that have taken the precision rifle course actually on the range that we've offered here. So it's going to be pretty good for those folks to get back in the math. And also the program is really, really good. I enjoy using it. It's it gives a hearty thunk when you hit the steel targets, and you've got wind to deal with, angle the dangle for different terrain features. So it's a very realistic as any video game could get, short of having somebody hit you in the shoulder, you know, when you fire, because you're just hitting the space bar to fire. But it'll be nice to try and reapply some of those mathematical equations. So we're going to be doing that. That is the third Sunday of this month. And I'm trying to find the paperwork here again, and I've lost it again, and I just sent something flying. I don't know what was up there. So look at the date. Dropped a video right here. I was trying to find the training schedule. I think it's over there somewhere, isn't it? For the church, the TCAC schedule. Lou just came running in. I don't know where he went. He took off, probably to go get some root beer or something. But did you find it?
No.
Anyway, whatever the third Sunday of May is, we're going to be doing that. We're also going to try and get some more airsoft training in, because we need to do as much of that as we possibly can. It was a great tool. Now that we learned how SWAT teams invade your house, now we get to play how to stop hoodlums from coming into your house. So now that we've got those skills, you know, rudimentary down, I'm not going to say we're experts or anything, but we did enough dynamic entries to last me a lifetime. I hated doing them when I was in the Army, and now we're doing it with airsoft. I want to be the guy defending the property and learn how to do that stuff. So we're going to work that in. We may have some group campouts up here. We're working on that. We've got the facilities here. I'd like to invite the listeners. It'd be a great opportunity to come and fellowship at the church, check out who we are. We had a visitor come yesterday who trained with us, but then came up Sunday. He actually came after church. I'm not going to give his name because I don't know if he wants his name given out, but we trained with him and his wife and a friend Practical Rifle, I think was the name of the class. He came out to check us out, and that was kind of nice. And that's for those of you that are new listeners to the show, that's the purpose of this show. This is an outreach, not just from the Church of Cahuilla, but just for the militia movement in general, especially those of us stuck behind enemy lines here in California. I want to offer it as a forum. You can get into the chat room either by going to dutchjones.tk. That's dutchjones.tk, and you can get in the chat room there. Or you can give us a call at, and I'm going to say it slow. I keep getting emails saying I'm saying it too fast. Area code 559-561-8225. Okay, that's area code 559-561-8225. And you don't have to talk about what I'm talking on there. You've seen something in the media. Something's happened locally where you're at. You've got a verse you want to share. You got a prayer request. You bought some, got a good deal on some ammo and want to share it. We just had somebody call before we came on the air with a good website for radios. And here it is. It's www.409shop.com. And we're going to talk a little bit about that probably in the second hour. But www.409shop.com, because we're looking for radios. Communications is key. We talk about that. Let's see. Oh, I've got some information to put out. We are in what's known as a Christian Covenant community here. We're trying to get Christian militia folks, patriots, to move up here. And a chunk of land with a house on it, a three-bedroom house, just went into foreclosure across the dirt road from our pastor. Now, we're located in Cahuilla, California. We're in Central California, right outside. We are the gateway to the Sequoia National Park. And a chunk of property went up on the block for $199,000. Now, I know if you're living in Iowa or upper state Michigan, you're like, hey, that doesn't sound too good. Well, most of the, you can't even get a dirt lot with like 2 or 3 acres like this one has up here in this area for that. Fortunately, the founders of our church, obeying God, came up here and got this land in the 60s before the market went nuts. So we got a good 20 acres, plus the pastor has another 14 or so acres. Well, next to him is about 3 acres with a three-bedroom house for sale on the auction. Well, it's not an auction block, but they're selling it in foreclosure for $199,000. Now, in the past, I've thrown these out there, and people have come up and looked, and the prices have been too high. The last one we talked about was almost $400,000. This one's $200,000. And it's in a secluded area. You're up against BLM land. For those of you that don't know what that is, that's Bureau of Land Management, which means it's pretty much untouched, and it's right up against a nice steep mountain. There's a well on the property already, so everything's good to go. So if you're interested in that, email me at dutchjonesshow@yahoo.com. Email me at dutchjonesshow@yahoo.com if you want more information on that, and I'll just scan in their little Realty flyer and send it out to you. I don't think it's going to last long at that price up here. Some hippie's probably going to buy it. So that's why I'm trying to tell you folks. So if you are of a like-minded slant, check it out. So what we're doing here is this show, the purpose of the show, and I'm kind of reintroducing it because we've left First Amendment Radio and Liberty Radio Live because they don't believe in the Constitution. They think it only applies to Old Testament, hardcore Christian types, that we can't have other people. people on the show that are fighting the good fight just because they don't agree with their politics or their philosophies. This is the modern day campfire, and as long as you don't come on here and you're some kind of freaking sodomite or Fabian socialist that's just going to, you know, blather on, well, I'll debate Fabian socialists and communists and Nazis and all that kind of stuff. But the point of this show is to get information out and truth out. And a listener named Paul, gave me some information about another radio internet network out there. Thank you for sending that in. I've gotten a lot of email from everybody since I made the jump from First Amendment Radio. No hard feelings. Went to church on Sunday. Nicholas didn't say one word to me, didn't look at me. He just sat there and, I don't know, he demanded an apology. He's not going to get it, but I'm not going to hold a grudge. Actually, it turns out to be a really good thing because it gave me the opportunity to finally approach Liberty Tree Radio and ask about getting on there. And that's the thing I did want to talk to you about. It's going to cost me about, if I want to do the two-hour show 5 days a week, if they can find a time slot, it's going to be about $200 a month in bandwidth costs. And that's more than reasonable. So if you guys think that that's something you want to be part of, you got to go to dutchjones.tk, hit that pitch in button, and, you know, give your $5. If all my listeners just gave $5, we'd have enough money to get our transmitter back up. Well, we're up at 40 watts. Thanks to First Amendment Radio, they donated a 40-watt transmitter. I went down today to get our amplifier, and the guy was closed, so I got to go tomorrow. But we're working on that. We still need a 48-volt, 20-amp power supply. It's a 48-volt DC 20-amp power supply. If you're cruising the net, and you get, I've looked all over and can't find one. The ones that are designed to come with it, it's sold by Radio Free Berkeley, and they want like $400 for it. So if you know of any outlets refurbished or anything like that, you know, just capture that page. You know, send the link to me at dutchjones@yahoo.com so we can get a line on that, because we've got to get our transmitter back up here, because we have the opportunity here to reach several communities. Right now at 40 watts, we're only going about 8 miles in one direction, if that. So we're really limited. But we've been at 60 watts most of our young lives here in radio. They've been doing this for several years, I think 7 or 8 years now, out of here on this low power. But we want to go up to 400 watts. We want to reach the communities in the foothills around us, because there are militias out there that we're only now discovering. This whole Hutari thing, this insult to the Constitution, this taking of hostages by the enemy, has really woken a lot of people up. It's scared a lot of people. But for every one person that's left our church over this, we've had two or three show up that, you know, have had a loose relationship or we've never met before and said, you know what, we want to find out more about the holy cause of liberty. We want to know what it is, you know, that Christian militias are all about. And I honestly have to say, I don't understand. I think it was Jefferson. Jefferson said, let no man claim to be a true American patriot if he ever attempts to separate religion from politics. I don't understand how you can be a non-Christian militia and expect to have victory. We use the term here a lot, coram Deo, the face of God, in the face of God, to have God's blessing on what we do. And the way that this nation was founded was because our forefathers and their women and their families sacrificed all with a huge faith in God, that God would, no matter what they went through, that God would reward their actions. And we are the recipients of that. Although we've let it slack, and now we are the victims of people since our forefathers selling out our nation. So we're reaching out to everybody. If you're a non-Christian, you know, militia, we'll still talk to you. We're not the ones slamming the door. I've had a few militia groups here in California, because you got to imagine there's quite a few just what I call secular militias. They're, you know, their cause is just, it's just not godly. And it's probably because they don't know about the history of our nation as much as they should. Let me get a drink of water here. But they're the ones that live in fear. They're the ones that I have trouble getting to come to our meetings. When we have our great, big, huge meeting, it'll be coming up on our 15th. Is it our 15th one coming up or 16th? 15th conference coming up in October. And we're trying to get some really good speakers there for you. It's the secular militias that live in fear. The Christian militias, they show up boldly. They come boldly before all the threats. You know, if you listen to the sermon that was on before this about fear from Pastor Warren Mark Campbell, our pastor here at the Church of Kuya, he talks of special forces veterans from Vietnam leaving the church because the FBI came through one time and took license plates. Well, we don't live in fear of that. One, we don't do anything unlawful or illegal in any manner. We're not stupid. That doesn't mean they can't, like they did to Hutari, make a bunch of stuff up. I mean, they can always do that. So you know that when the day comes, if they come and snag me and they say, oh, he had Claymore mines, you know they're lying, because I think that that would be stupid. I don't want homemade hand grenades. I don't make pipe bombs. I don't do any of that ridiculous stuff. We are Christian soldiers first, and we do everything admirably. And there's a higher law than the fake laws that the people who have hijacked our nation write. So I don't need them to tell me what's right or wrong, because I already know what's right or wrong, because I have the Bible. That's the only law book I really need. But with that said, to operate smartly within a occupational government like we are, I don't own anything that is illegal by any of the laws in our area, because I don't want to give them an excuse, give them a toehold. I don't want to invite Satan in, you know, even under false jurisdiction. So, but we don't live in fear. And I'm seeing that the secular militia folks do live in fear a lot. And I've met, you know, militias in general that, you know, they don't say they're a Christian militia, but when you sit down and you fellowship, you have, you know, you train with them, you find out they're all Christians anyway. They just, it never occurred to them to do that. We have, from the onset, from the 90s, when the militia movement really took hold up here in our area, you know, we had the Trockmans come by and the, Spike. Who did the Spike?
Bo Grites.
You know, they've all been here, you know, and better men than I that have, you know, been, I'm catching it on the tail end up here. I came in 3 years ago with nothing to offer and nothing to lose and found a home. Literally homeless and got lost. Made the wrong turn and ended up at the church at Cahuilla, and it's been my home ever since. And good people here, you know, we have our flaws. We're not perfect. We're by no means the toughest, you know, super troopers that you're going to find in the militia movement. We got three or four people that are really good at what they do. My prime has passed me, mostly due to neglect of my own body, but I'm working on that, trying to bring my body into submission. As I say that, my stomach's still growling and weird stuff. I may still have a touch of that weird flu thing. But we're here looking for sheepdogs. That's a common phrase you're going to hear on this show if you're a new listener. If you're an old listener, you know, bear with me a little bit here. We don't want sheep. We want sheepdogs. I'm not a shepherd. I'm not a pastor. I'm not a priest. I'm not even an elder in my church. I am simply a sheepdog. Those sheep that are worthy, I will protect them. The sheep that betray us, the sheep that mock us, the sheep that ridicule us, or even worse, the apathetic sheep, I'm not here to protect them. I'm here to protect the sheep that want to be part of a flock that's nationwide. It's not just the flock here. I have a duty as a Christian soldier, to the best of my ability, be it all, you know, abbreviated because of my physical abilities, but my mind's still sharp anyway, to defend the innocent, the weak, the injured, though, you know, all that goes into it. We cannot deny those duties as Christian soldiers. That's why when the thing happened to Hutari, the huge insult to the militia movement and to Christians everywhere, and then now the constant media raping, people don't like it when I use that word, but that's what they're doing. They're, the stories that come out every day vilifying these people, and everybody just jumps on board. You read the little comments. I'm on Yahoo, and I read what all these sheep in America, these traitor sheep, you know, oh, hang them, you know, torture them, set them on fire. I've seen the most horrible things said about people that 99.999% of us don't even know them. So we're not qualified to comment on those things. But better men than I have told me that they are to be trusted, and what's going on is abhorrent, and it's a lie, and it's disgusting, so I believe them. I've chatted, and I don't even know which Hutari members I talked with through emails, making comments on their videos on YouTube, and they make comments on mine, and back and forth kind of thing over the years. So now more than ever, we need to stick together. The two things you need to do most in this movement right now, and when we come up on the half hour, make sure you play our commercial. No, we got about 7 minutes. I just want to make sure you're ready. Networking and fellowship with other people is critical now more than ever. That's why they did what they did to Hutari. They wanted to scare you into going into your cave, rolling a stone in front of it, and never coming out again. Because if they can isolate us and put fear in our hearts, we're already defeated. But two is, you have to have skills and equipment. Because the first point, lone wolf's not going to last very long. especially if they're discovered. I mean, you may be able to avoid it for a long, long time, but eventually you're going to get squished either by the bad guys or bandits in the post-collapse economy that they're orchestrating for us. But secondly, you have to have equipment and you have to have training. Now, and I'm not talking about... people say, well, you sell the stuff, that's why you're doing it. I offer stuff. I don't sell anything. I'm not a salesman. If we have stuff you want, get it from us. If you can get it cheaper somewhere else, tell me about it because I'll buy it from them too because I'm not making any money on this. We have a small markup from our suppliers. But the whole point of it is that I don't care if you have your daddy's World War II stuff on. That's showing a diligence that pleases God. That shows that you are not a heathen and not preparing for the defense of your family.
Wouldn't it be granddaddy's World War II stuff?
Well, I guess it would be granddaddy's. It depends how old you are. For me, it would be granddad. For you, it would be grand, you know, daddy or something. Well, your grandpa's 70 years old. He's old enough to have been in World War II as a young guy. My dad, your grandfather is only in his 60s. He was in Vietnam, so maybe you're right. Great granddaddy. Well, if you're wearing your... We have a lady here whose mom was in the Navy during Vietnam, and she handed down her gear. So she's wearing her mom's Vietnam, you know, so you're, the whole phrase, your mom wears combat boots, has a whole new meaning in that family because the husband and wife are active. And that's another thing here. Some people think, well, if you're a Christian militia, you don't encourage the women. Well, we don't want the women to be frontline fighters because they have roles behind the lines, such as communication. That's what I do. Medical aid, of course, logistics, all that. But we train our women. We encourage our women to get up and train. And in fact, it's been kind of hard with some of them because they're afraid of the stuff. So we have to bring in, and I've learned this, it's really hard for a husband to teach a wife how to do anything. It's just the nature of the way we are, being flawed humans. So we bring in professional trainers to do that, and they're always encouraged, and they seem to be more at ease with strangers than they are their own family members, but we work it out. But the point is, fellowship and training and equipment. Training and equipment go together for me because... One, you can't train if you don't have the equipment unless you've got really giving friends that let you borrow stuff. But if you go out and buy a handgun, take it to the range, shoot 25 rounds through a paper target, and then put it in the bed nightstand and go, oh, I'm prepared for anything coming through that door. You're not only kidding yourself, you're risking the lives of your family, and that's irresponsible. I've had tons of training, and as I get older... My training gets a little more focused because there are certain things that I know I can't do, but I'm never going to stop training. There's always an opportunity to learn something. I consider every man my better when it comes to learning from them. There's always something that they do better than I do. I don't care if I hate the guy and we fight it out over every issue, but if I shut up and listen, there's something I can learn from that person. And that's the attitude you have to have when it comes to all things martial or survival or prep, you know, being a survivalist. People say survivalist is, you know, oh, that's such a bad word. I don't want to be a survivalist. Noah was a survivalist. For 100 years, he stored up food and animals and built a survival vehicle, the ultimate get-out-of-dodge vehicle, the Ark. So, and he was obedient to the Lord, and that's all we're doing. We're being obedient to the Lord. I say often now that a listener reminded me of a quote of mine, which I'm surprised I said it. I chalk it up to the Holy Spirit. I don't think I came up with it. The militia is not here to overthrow the government. The militia is here to ensure that the government doesn't overthrow the people, and that's the attitude we have. We're not Joe Stacks. We're not suicide bombers. We're not Al-Qaeda. We're not the CIA. We're not SWAT. We're not the hostage rescue team. We're not the FBI. We're not terrorists like they are. And that's right, I'm calling all those groups terrorists, and most of the police forces in America, except for those that are on our side, that are oath keepers or whatever you want to call them, I have little respect for the people on the other side of that thin blue line anymore. We are defenders of property and people in the militia. We're not a standing army. We're not soldiers. You know, the whole term citizen soldier was... propaganda made up about, you know, the National Guard after the Dict Act and right around the turn of the century. We are community members that defend our neighbors. That's what we do. Whether you believe in the whole regulated, unregulated, unenrolled, posse comitata, whatever it is, whatever you want to call yourself, it still comes down to it. It's just people on your in your neighborhood, you know, sounds like a Sesame Street song, sticking up for each other. You know, in the beginning of this nation, you know, 300 some years ago, before it was even a nation, when it was just a territory of England, and those first experimental colonies came over and tried communism and failed, that's what they were. They had to look out for each other against the weather, the elements, drought, Indians. Certain Indian tribes were friendly, some weren't. Other nations, they had to look out for the French. That's why militias were formed. Militias predate the Constitution. And a lot of people don't understand that, but they're in the Bible. Abram had a militia when he went and rescued Lot when he was kidnapped. Just throughout the Bible, that's all militia stuff, you know, until the king started making standing armies, which, you know, was against God's will. That's why I don't think we should have a standing army, so I don't get all gaga about our foreign wars. They're counter to what God's will for this nation was and what the founding fathers were trying to put together in their experiment. But if you don't think that the Christians in this country that are militant and the pastors that are militant, if you look up the Black Regiment on our website on the links. I can never remember where it is because it keeps getting moved around the way we have our website. But that's the only way we know how to do it because we're doing it for free. Look for the Black Regiment. Is it called Black Robe or Black Regiment?
Black Robe.
Black Robe Regiment. It's about the pastors today. Well, where that name comes from is from the pastors of the colonial days. And for those of you that don't think the church is important, let me give you a little quote here. And then I'm going to ask you guys if you know who did it. Maybe somebody can give me a call at 559-561-8225. First, let's run the commercial. I'm going to do the quote. I'll do the quote. Then we'll do the commercial. And I'm going to see if you guys can figure out who this was. Here's the quote. We have brought the priests out of the party political conflict and led them back into the church, and now it is our desire that they should never return to that area for which they were not intended. I'm going to read it again. Who said this? We have brought the priests out of the party political conflict and led them back into the church, and now it is our desire that they should never return to that area for which they were not intended. We'll be right back after this commercial and maybe a little song. Go ahead. Thank you for listening to the Dutch Jones Radio Program. And if you get nothing else from our show, there should be two things that you learn. One is, you need to work together with other like-minded people. And number two, you need the basic equipment to keep from becoming a refugee. So whether you're looking for a water filter, tactical gear, surplus gear, or just want to look into some new survival equipment, you need to check out djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk. We carry surplus, and we carry new lines from MilSpec and Voodoo Tactical. And if you don't see it on our website, please send us a message and we'll find it for you. So if you're going to need the gear anyway, why not buy it from us? You'll get it for cheaper than you will from the source, and it'll help out the ministry here at the Dutch Jones Radio Program. So whether you're new or been in this for a while, check out djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk.
The song you are about to hear is true. Though some of the events described have not occurred in the life of the author, they have occurred in the lives of thousands of other revenue-oppressed Americans. The author disclaims any responsibility or liability for any loss incurred as a consequence of the use and the application of any of the following information, which is not provided for the purpose of rendering any legal advice or professional service. In other words, this song is totally frivolous and without merit.
Not. Last April, right around tax time, along with my 1040 form, I sent the IRS a message to tell them they was wrong. And I told them I was sick and tired of playing their cheating game. And as for all my honest, hard-earned wages, to them they never had no claim. Because I never worked in Puerto Rico, nor lived in Washington, D.C. I wasn't under their jurisdiction, and there was nothing they could do to me. And since I've never ever been an employee of the federal government, I ain't liable for, nor subject to, no, I've never owed you one red cent. But let me tell you, it's dangerous to be right when the government is wrong. They'll trample down your rights as they break inside your home. They'll terrorize your sweet bride as they put the hard lean on. Yes, it's dangerous to be right when the government is wrong. Now it didn't take them very long before they garnished all my hard-earned pay. Then they repossessed my pickup truck and had it towed away. And then they up and seized my bank accounts as they auctioned off my family farm. And to keep me from proving my innocence, well, they shackled me in iron. Now let me tell you, it's dangerous to be right when the government is wrong. They'll trample down your rights as they break inside your home. They'll terrorize your sweet bride as they put the hard lean on. Yes, it's dangerous to be right when the government is wrong. Now the truth about the IRS code is that it's fraudulently misapplied. Because the legal definition of taxpayer is exclusively derived. So all you agents of the evil IRS are in reality a bunch of thieves who are working for the foreign bankers to bring America to her knees. So listen up, you international banksters, and all you traitorous congressmen, and all you low-down, lying, thieving, cheating lawyers, better leave the country while you can. When the people find out the truth about how the income tax is based on fraud, they're gonna rise up all across this nation. They're gonna rout you vipers out, by God. To use the famous words of Andy Jackson, we're gonna rout you vipers out, by God. And then it's gonna be dangerous, cause we're right and the government is wrong. We'll trample down their rights as we break inside their homes. We'll terrorize the sweet prize as we put the hard lean on. Yes, we're dangerous cause we're right and the government is wrong. Yes, we're dangerous cause we're right and the government is wrong.
Yes. That, of course, was Carl Klang, and it's dangerous to be right when the government is wrong. It was true when he wrote that song, and it's just as true today. I don't even know the year on that. It just seems like forever ago when I got involved in this movement. It's like a lifetime here. And I'm surprised that we're still allowed to fight, given what's going on lately. For the break, by the way, I'm Dutch Jones. This is the Dutch Jones Radio Program. And I want to thank you guys for tuning in. We do this Monday through Friday here at DutchJones.tk, DutchJones.tk via the UBroadcast Network. And we have 24 hours to fill, so if you're interested in having your own show, give me an email, DutchJones.tk, DutchJones.tk. There's no fee involved or anything. I just have to show you how to do it, give you a password and that kind of thing, and talk to you if I know what your show's going to be like, and teach you how to just hook your headphones in is pretty much all you got to do, and you can have your own show on here. Eventually, when we get to a better location, we're still remote using satellite. We can put more stuff up 24 hours a day. Right now, we're just stuck up in the hills. So if I could get somebody to help us that's got a good DSL line and I could just tell you through email what to upload, that would be great. We need all the help we can get. And, of course, we're on Liberty Radio Live, but I don't know if they're taking the first hour or the second hour. So the second hour will be on Liberty Radio Live. Excuse me, Liberty Tree Radio. I got too many things in my head. My Rolodex is full. Well, before the break, I asked you a question. Who said that, and I turned the page here, so I got to go back and get it. Who said, we have brought the priests out of the party political conflict and led them back into the church, and now it is our desire that they should never return to that area for which they were not intended. Now, I asked for people to call in. I got some emails on it, but the phone number to call in is 559-561-8225, but it's too late for this one. I was going to give away something if somebody got it right, but nobody wanted to call. That was said in 1933 by Adolf Hitler. He knew that if he could control the pulpits of Germany, he could do whatever he wanted with the country. And the Founding Fathers, in a reverse way, said that if they could not get the preachers behind the cause of liberty, behind the rebellion, I don't want to say rebellion because I hate that word, we weren't rebels, we were righteous in what we were doing as a people, that it wouldn't work. If the energy didn't come from the pulpits and the blessing of the Lord, there would have been no America. We'd still be some great British colony, probably Germany, because undoubtedly, we wouldn't have succeeded in becoming the nation we were, and we wouldn't have been there to bail out Europe for the second time. But that's just one radio announcer's opinion. But I'm going more and more into this. I'm going to keep giving you some quotes here. I want to make sure that people realize that the cause of liberty is indeed a holy one, and that to do so without the blessing of the Lord is a fool's folly. You know, unless we build a house firmly on the gospel, it's a waste of our time. You know, we'll build in vain. Let's see. I got a bunch of really cool quotes here. We've got this handbook. It's like a compendium of quotes most commonly used by Christian patriots, and it's offered at the Church at Cahuilla website. I love this one. Abigail Adams. I love her. Wife of John Adams, president, and also a patriot. A patriot without religion is, in my estimation, a great paradox. As an honest man without the fear of God, is it possible that he whom no moral obligations bind can have any real goodwill towards men? Can he be a patriot who, by an openly vicious conduct, is undermining the very bonds of society? The scriptures tell us, righteous men exalteth the nation. I have to turn on a light here so I can continue to read. So that was Abigail Adams. So anybody that thinks that this nation wasn't built by Christian patriots is either retarded, has an evil, vile plan to deceive everyone, or has just been a subject of our public school system. And I don't know, all of those are bad, because I was a subject of the public school system, and I sought out the truth. Now, John Adams, our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other. And that's why we are where we are today, folks. We are no longer a holy people. We no longer, our institutions, our governments, our laws do not reflect the will of the Lord, nor obey them. You know, so that's why we are where we are. So with that out of the way, the next half hour I'm going to talk about people who say that Christians should just turn the other cheek and should not take up arms. Like our 90% of the Christian people in America are dispensationalists. They're just sitting around waiting for Jesus to come back and fight their battle for them. I say they're cowards, they're deluded, and they're misinterpreting Scripture, but I'm not going to go into that. I'm going to have a pastor come on and talk about that, dispensationalism versus preterism. And we here at the Church of Cahuilla, if we had to describe, if somebody said, well, what kind of church are you? We are a interdenominational or multi-denominational semi-preterist church.
Partial preterist.
Partial preterist would be a better way Lou says. That's better, yeah. Partial preterist. We've got all kinds of people here. Baptists, Assembly of God folks. Me, I don't even know what I am. I got saved about 15 years ago at a conservative Baptist church in Rancho Cucamonga, California. Actually, it was in a house church, but we eventually got a building. But so if people ask, that's what we are. We've got all kinds here. We have people that are, we've got Mormons that come here. We've got, let's see, what else do we have? We have Seventh-day Adventists that have been coming lately. We got every denomination that you can think of. There are Catholics that come through once in a while. I think they're just missing the truth, and I'm not bagging on Catholics, but I think that you're not going to hear this kind of stuff in a Catholic church, unless it's one of those Catholic churches that's giving amnesty, not amnesty, sanctuary to illegal aliens. That's the only time they'll stand up against the government. But people are always saying Jesus is a pacifist, so you should be a pacifist. Now, usually I only read to you from the New King James. Excuse me, the King James Bible. I said new. I don't know why I said that. King James Bible. But the book that I have in front of me from someone that we respect and love here at the Church of Cahuilla. In fact, he's going to be here this coming Sunday. So if you are in the Central Valley area, going to be around Visalia, you're going to want to hear Peter Hammond come speak at our church this Sunday. He is the militant Christian in the Sudan missionary that we support, among with several other churches around the world, that not only brings the gospel, but teaches them to fight the Muslim militias that are there to defend themselves. Because what good is it to go into a village and teach them the truth about God and His love if they're going to get hacked with machetes the next day to death? So, Peter Hammond, this is from his book, A Christian at War. This is the revised and expanded edition, The Christian at War by Peter Hammond. I'm going to be reading to you from page 6. And I don't know which Bible he uses. It probably says here somewhere, but it's not the King James. So I'm a King James traditionalist, just as many of my listeners are, but don't be offended. I'm just, in order to quote his book, I'm quoting it as he wrote it. So, and there's nothing wrong with the versions that the the verses that he pulled out. I'm going to read to you Deuteronomy 32:39, then I'm going to read you his thesis on this. I and I alone am God. No other God is real. I kill, I give life, I wound and I heal, and no one can oppose what I do. So does God sound like a pacifist to you? And we understand that Jesus is God, unless you're one of these people that are hate the Trinity, you know, think that Jesus was just a really cool dude, a roofer that did everything right. So Jesus was not a pacifist either. God's not a pacifist. We serve an honorable and terrible God. Terrible because he is just. Because we are unjust, we fear the justness of God because he gives us exactly what we deserve. Our Lord Jesus, where are my spectacles? I'll put these ones on, the broken ones. Let's see, I got some broken ones here. Put these on, it's very small print and it's getting dark in here. Oh, there I can read it. Our Lord Jesus may have been meek, but he was never mild. His teaching was powerful, dynamic, direct, and uncompromising. This tough carpenter from Nazareth was able to survive 40 days fasting in the desert and 40 lashes from the brutal Roman whip. Now, let's just stop there and talk about that. Now, the deity of Jesus Christ is indisputable. But he dwelled in a human body. He brought his body into submission. He worked in a hard career building. He was a carpenter. Probably would be like some contractor today without all the brand new tools. So there's no doubt that he was, in fact, a sturdy and strong man. He could walk hundreds of kilometers in the blazing heat of Palestine's in hospitable terrain, and he could walk through a murderous mob with such a presence that no one dared stop him. Now, this is just refer to Luke 4:28-30. Remember when they wanted to tear him limb from limb, and he just faded into the crowd? I mean, that to me strikes up an awesome image. That's just how he was. When Jesus saw how corrupt men were desecrating the temple with their money-grabbing greed, that's the kosher mafia in its earliest forms there, he made a whip, overturned their tables, and drove them forcibly from God's house. Read that in Matthew 21. Also in John 2. Thank you, Lou. What he did in that temple when he saw what they were doing in his father's house, he kicked butt. He sat down in a righteous anger. He wasn't like instantly just freaked out. He sat down and wove a whip and then went after him. When Jesus returns to this world, it will be as the conquering King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The Bible teaches us that the first time Jesus came as a Savior, and all who turn from sin and trust in Christ, following him in obedience, are saved. However, when Jesus comes again, it will be as a judge, and all who have not repented and obeyed will be condemned and eternally punished. The scripture warns us that when Jesus returns, he will annihilate the forces of the false church and of the Antichrist. Now, this is where we differ. We believe in 70 AD when Titus, following Nero's commands, destroyed Jerusalem. But that's okay. We can differ on that. So if you go to Revelations 19:11, this kind of gives you a little bit more here. With justice, he judges and makes war. He will rule them with an iron scepter. He treads the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty, King of Kings and Lords of Lords. Now, that sounds like a pacifist to you? And everybody says, well, that's God. Who are we to emulate? Who are we to be like? When people look at us, you Christians out there should know this. They're to see a reflection of God to the best of our ability. We should reflect those things in Jesus Christ in our own lives. I mean, I know we fail at it, and we're miserable at it because we're humans, and we're flawed, and we're selfish, and we're disgusting and petty. But we're to be like him, and he is a warrior God, too. He's a loving God. He's a caring God. He's Abba Father. You know, he's Daddy. But think about your own father. What would happen if, you know, your father that's loving and cuddly and tickles your mom and plays with you, if, you know, think about our fathers, you know, from that generation, those of us that are over 40. If a man had broken into the house wishing ill will to harm your family, what would your dad be? He wouldn't be that tickly, lovey, at least I hope not. Mine wouldn't. If my father had no weapons but his hands and feet and the coffee table, he would do what he could to protect us. And that's the way our Lord is. He's not a coward.
Oh, Lord, left is thy hand grenade, but with it thou mayst blow thy enemies to tiny bits in thy mercy.
Not exactly where I was going, but a nice reference to the Holy Grail there. It is useless for the sheep to pass resolutions in favor of vegetarianism while the wolf remains of a different opinion. That's why I've transitioned myself from sheep to sheepdog. Now, I know there's no biblical precedence for it, but there's also nothing in the Bible about gravity. So, you know, get over it. Don't call me blasphemous because I've come up with a new Christian level. I'm not saying anything I'm saying is biblically based. It's just my opinion. But the Bible declares that blessed are the peacemakers. That's Matthew 5:9. It doesn't say blessed are the pacifists. How can one enforce peace if he does not have the threat of might behind it? Even Gandhi said that the worst nations take weapons from their people because once the people are unarmed, there is no way to resist a corrupt government. Do not suppose that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. And people say, well, it's the word. You know, he brought the Bible. Yes, he brought the... Huh?
It's a lowercase s.
It's a lowercase s. You are learning a lot, Lou. I'm really glad. Yeah, that's something.
A sword, not
the sword. That's a good point, Lou. I didn't even think of that. See? The teacher has become the student. And I'm going to have to beat him. But that's a good point. It's a lowercase s. He's not talking about the word of God. He's talking literally of a sword. And of course, if I were to get another tattoo, which I probably will not, but it would be Luke 22:36. Luke 22:36. Get the Bible out. Get out my King James and find Luke 22:36. I don't want to mess this one up. I have the sin of paraphrase. I do that all the time. You know, and there's a lot of things. People read the Bible and they see one thing and they don't realize that God is not one-dimensional. So if it says, whom sheds the blood of man, by man shall have his blood be shed, that means that somebody has to punish the man for murdering. And it says, thou shalt not murder in the original text. It doesn't say thou shalt not kill. So the opposite of that is thou shalt not allow yourself to be murdered. Thou shalt not allow innocence to be murdered. And the reason I'm doing this show is I've gotten a lot of email lately from drive-by listeners. And those are the folks that go, I can't believe. And there are people over at, this is one of the reasons we had a problem with First Amendment Radio. It seems like the owner and his people would still get in there and go, oh, but you're forgetting where to turn the other cheek. Turning the other cheek, that verse, which we may get to later, is about insults, being wronged in a small manner. It's not saying if they come and take your daughter and rape her, turn the other cheek. That's a coward's religion. Okay, so we're in Luke 22. I'm going to give 35 for context, but Luke 32, 36 through 37 I'm going to read. And he said unto them, this is Jesus speaking to the apostles, I sent you without purse and scrip and shoes, and lacked ye anything? And they said nothing. He's getting ready to send them out again the second time. Then he said unto them, but now, he that hath a purse, let him take it, and likewise his scrip. And he that hath no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. For I say unto you that this that is written must yet be accomplished in me. And he was reckoned among the transgressors, and for the things concerning me have an end. He's telling him that he's going to be killed, basically. But 22:36, he's saying that it is more important that you suffer a cold night without your cloak, a jacket, than to be unarmed. Because at that time, things were terrible. Even though Pax Romana, the Romans were enforcing their law, there were still bandits. Barabbas was still, you know, his men were out there, all kinds of things going on. Highwaymen, you know, corrupt Roman soldiers. It was all going on, and he knew that they would be victims. And he's saying, bring your backpack, bring whatever money you have, but bring that sword. In a modern vernacular, he would say, if you have FRNs or gold or silver, bring them. If you have a rucksack or a fanny pack or a wagon that you might tow your stuff in, bring it. And by all means, grab your daddy's shotgun. And if you don't have your daddy's shotgun, sell your field jacket, your leather jacket, your you know, whatever overcoat you're wearing, and use that money to go buy an AR-15 or something.
Or buy
your daddy's shotgun from him. Now, unfortunately, you know, a cloak back then may have been equal to the value of a sword, but today, no. You know, our jackets are you know, unless you've got something really nice in Gore-Tex and you can sell it for a couple hundred bucks, I don't know where you're going to find a weapon these days. So maybe that time has passed, but fortunately many of you and my house, we obeyed this long ago. Maybe I went a little overboard in the 90s, but I have firearms now because I obeyed this verse, along with all the other verses that I try to obey and commandments from Jesus. I had an interesting, I can't remember, it was 3 years ago or 4 years ago, a group of Russian immigrants came to our church, to our conference. I don't think they knew what they were getting themselves into, because I didn't know until later that a lot of these people who lived under communist rule that came here to America are pacifists. Hardcore Christians. I don't challenge their love of the Lord. But when they, in between the presentations and the trainings and the sermons, people were allowed to go into what was called the book room, but it was half book, half materials. And I had a booth set up where I was selling military surplus, survival gear. I had my 50 cal BMG out, you know, just for people to look at. I had ghillie suits up on the wall. And most people were like, oh, this is great, you know, and I'm sharing, I'm training things with them. But this group of Russians came over, and they were freaked out. Why as a Christian would you be doing this at a church? You're in a church, and look what you're doing. And so I started to share with them, and they're like, oh, no, we are not to resist. And they go, and in fact, the Bible tells us if an enemy tells you to carry his pack for a mile, I'd carry it two. And, you know, they give you all these, you know, narrow interpretations. And I said, okay. You know, but what if someone comes for you in the middle of the night? What would you do? And he goes, oh, I wouldn't resist. And he goes, and then he looks at me and says, so you're telling me if they come to take your Bible, you would shoot them? I said, no, they can take my Bible. They probably need it more than I do. There are more Bibles. This Bible is not flesh and blood or precious or valuable beyond its knowledge. It's a book of words, but I have other Bibles that I can get. I would give the KGB man my Bible. And then I said... Huh?
KSG-9.
And I don't think that's right. I think it's something else. You need to look that one up. Maybe KSG-9, the German special police or whatever. But then I said, well, what would you do if they came for your daughters? Because he had some daughters there, and his wife was standing with them among other people from his church. He says, well, it would be God's will, and I would just trust the Lord that they would not harm them, and I'd hand them over. Well, to my right side was this family of young Confederate types, young men, and their father and their sisters, and they went nuts when they heard that, and I calmed them down. And I said, I feel sorry for your family that you would not defend them. And I gave them the verse that says, you know, you're worse than a heathen if you don't prepare to take and provide for your family.
GSG-9.
It's GSG-9, I thought so. GSG-9 is the German secret police thing. But we encounter it, and what I found out was, after talking to them, and they're still this way, I've been to their church, they still have this Romans 13 thing in their head that even evil emperors are put there by God, and they're to be obeyed no matter what. And I touch a little bit on Romans 13. You read the whole book. It's just that whole chapter. You know, render unto Caesar those things which are Caesar's, unto the Lord those things which are the Lord. People take that and pervert it. And the pastor, we have a lovely lady here, Esther Megan, who just goes nuts when people bring that up. And I do too. I was like, no, that's not what it means. It doesn't mean give everything to the government. Resistance to tyranny is obedience to the Lord. And the Old Testament is just full of it. The reason it's not in the New Testament is because they thought, well, we made it pretty clear in the Old Testament. We need not write about it in the New Testament. Because we were told that the entire Bible is there for our education and our edification, right? And making us better people. So they didn't suddenly say, oh, the New Testament's here throughout the Old Testament. You can't have it both ways. And you can't have just all the Old Testament and ignore the New Testament. There are buffet Christians out there that just drive me nuts. And I run into them constantly. Some of them are brothers and sisters even that I fellowship with at our church. And that's one of the reasons why I had to leave First Amendment Radio, because they were like that. He's a real buffet Christian. You know, I don't even want to get into it again. I said I wouldn't. But I think you understand where I'm getting at. You want to cue up... that second commercial and gets the song ready. We've got about 3 minutes for the break. When we come back after the break, we're going to be getting ready for our one-hour simulcast with Liberty Tree Radio. Hopefully they got everything I sent them over there. And if not, that's okay. We'll just do it on Wednesday. But I just want you guys to know that I appreciate the money that you sent in. It made it possible for us to not miss... No, the one for the water filters. We did not miss a beat because you people believe in the holy cause of liberty. It has nothing to do with me. I'm just the guy sitting here blurting out stuff that the Lord tells me to talk about. But the fact that you guys stepped up, got $80 into that account, made it possible for us to get the bandwidth. We didn't miss a minute of the show. We left First Amendment Radio, and then the next night we were up and running.
on our own 2 feet. So go ahead, and we'll be right back after the break with another hour. You ready?
Yeah.
Play it.
I did.
This is what I'm talking about.
After 3 days without water, having access to clean, drinkable water in a disaster, survival situation, or military action is critical when putting together your survival plan and survival kit. Whether you choose to boil, filter, purify, or use some type of chemical treatment, something must be done when planning your survival escape routes and plans and putting together your bug-out bag or simply your rucksack. That's why I have chosen to offer Sawyer brand water filters. These filters used in the medical industry for kidney dialysis exceed the needs for water purification. With different units available, the basic unit that you should get will be capable of filtering up to 500 gallons a day and will not need to be replaced until you have surpassed 1 million gallons through that filter. I know that's hard to believe, but it's a fact. They've been using these filters overseas for years in the missionary fields and in post-disaster recovery efforts. The filters are lightweight and simple to use, so whether you attach it to a 5-gallon bucket, to a water bladder, or to a 10,000-gallon tank, these filters can do the job for you. They can handle up to 40 PSI, and with different fittings and ingenuity, you can even apply them to inside, inline water supply systems into your house, cabin, or survival structure. So I'm asking you to go to djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk. Check out the Sawyer water filters. Order them through us. You will save at least $5 off the retail price of buying them from Sawyer Direct. And as always, the money goes to help the radio ministry here at the Dutch Jones Radio Program. So, do something right for your family, get them prepared for a disaster or calamity, and you're helping us out. So don't forget, djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk. Check out the Sawyer brand water filters.
There's rebellion in the wind.
A new world order. A new world order.
How can you have a house without a gun? Guns aren't toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
It's all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel in.
Put out all point bulletins. We'll set them roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order.
Attention. Attention.
Government is
an emergency. Repeat. An emergency.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
Heavens, what kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time to
touch Jones.
Radio program.
And now for something completely different.
Bow to your sensei.
That's right, bow to your sensei. I'm your digital sensei. I'm Dutch Jones. This is the Dutch Jones radio program coming to you live right now. It is 6.01 p.m. It is the 26th of April, 2010. We are simulcasting right now, our second hour, on, I'm going to get this right this time, Liberty Tree Radio. We'd like to thank the folks over there for making it possible for us to get one of our hours up. We're also on the U Broadcast on the DutchJones.tk website. DutchJones.tk website. There is a chat box in there for us over at U Broadcast. There's also a chat room over at Liberty Tree Radio. I'm not looking at that because we have limited bandwidth, but all you folks in the chat room, if you register, I can see who you are and you can make chat comments over here at U Broadcast, so that's fine. We're coming to you Mondays, Wednesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays on Liberty Tree Radio, but we're 2 hours a day, Monday through Friday, at DutchJones.tk. We recently made the jump over from Liberty Tree Radio. Excuse me. I keep saying I'm messing this up. There's too many liberties in this one.
No, you said it right, Liberty Tree Radio.
We came over to Liberty Tree Radio from Liberty Radio Live and First Amendment Radio. It was not a nice split, but I'm glad I'm here now. I'd rather be with people who believe that the Constitution is for everyone and that the holy cause of liberty is not selective. So we're back. Well, the first hour of the program, you guys missed a whole lot, but that's okay. You can catch up quick. We're talking about a person that we're going to have come to our church this Sunday. He is our missionary, Peter Hammond. He is a militant Christian like we are here at the church at Cahuilla in Cahuilla, California. We are centered in Central California, just outside Sequoia National Park. We have a Christian worldview that is militant. No, we're not fanatics. No, we're not wearing the explosive weight belts or anything like that. We just believe in the historical
facts that this country was founded on Christian beliefs by pastors who organized their militias that worked hand in hand with great men and women of the cause that, with obviously divine intervention, created one of the formerly greatest nations on earth, but we've now slipped from that, unfortunately. But Peter Hammond is coming in this Sunday. He's going to speak at our church, and he is in the Sudan. And so for all those people out there that say the Church of Kauai is racist, which is funny because we got multiple races at our church, our missionary that we support is in the Sudan, and we support Christian refugees over there that are fleeing for their lives from hordes of Muslim militias that are slaughtering them. And we send Bibles, we send the Word of God, we send water filters, we send all that stuff, but we also send money that I pray is being used to buy AK-47s. And we send guys like Peter Hammond to train them to fight. And we've seen pictures sent back where they're using the Confederate battle flag, the Cross of St. Andrew, into battle against Muslims, and I love it. I love it, seeing these Africans just defending themselves and standing up for themselves, not counting on the UN, not counting on foreign nations, not European Union to come in, but that's what we're doing, and with our money. We're putting our money where our mouth is. The cause of liberty isn't just here in the United States, folks, but that's what this show focuses on right now. But Peter Hammond's coming next Sunday to give it a little international flair, and we're talking about jurisdictions, rendering unto Caesar, the biblical precedent for being martial and defending yourself. The Constitution, the Second Amendment, didn't invent the militia. It existed from the beginning of the settling of this nation. It existed in antiquity in the Bible, the Old Testament. All the great patriarchs of the Bible had militias. So, and I'm sure you guys know this over at Liberty Tree Radio, the Second Amendment does not give us any rights. It just draws out those rights given to us by God. So with that, we're going to continue. I want to welcome the guys from Liberty Tree Radio from jumping over. And I'm not taking everything from King James right now, because the book that I'm quoting from didn't. Because this book goes all around the world, is in multiple languages, they didn't want to stick with King James because, quite frankly, it's hard to understand sometimes. So the next verse that we go to is about delegated authority, and this is John 19:11. Jesus emphasized that civil authority is delegated by God when he said to Pilate, "You have no power over me if it were not given to you from above." So one thing in America that our leaders have forgotten is that their authority is granted to them by the Lord over us. They work for us, but divine governance, you know, I'm not talking about like they have in Iran, when the religions rule. That's not what I'm talking about. In the hearts of these men and women that serve us, if they were serving the Lord, we wouldn't have the problem we have today. So what Jesus was saying to them, what he was saying to Pilate, if the Lord didn't want you there, you wouldn't be there. Now, some would say, well, then we must obey every leader that's put over us because God puts them in there. Well, because man's free will, what they do when they get there is up to them. Sometimes the Lord will use corrupt nations and individuals to punish his people. Look at Israel. He could have destroyed all the tribes that were enemies of Israel, but he didn't, because he wanted them to remember, one, how to fight, and two, that they need to obey God. How can you have power over someone if you can't punish them for doing what you don't want them to do, right? So, but only God does it fairly, and that's why he's so scary, like I said in the first hour. The scary part about the Lord is that he's very just and fair. And in fairness, we get what we deserve. Paul wrote, "Remind the people to be subject to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, and to be ready to do whatever is good." Now, that's a perfect world. You know, if Obongo was a Christian instead of a Muslim, and was an American instead of a communist, I wouldn't have to do this show. He would be doing what is right instead of being outside the bounds of the Constitution. Now, let's not even talk about the Bible. You know, our government as a whole has been so far outside of the Constitution for so long, it's now accepted for politicians to say, well, it doesn't matter what the Constitution says. And people don't even get upset about that anymore. I'm talking about the sheep, not the sheepdogs. We, the sheepdogs, are, of course, morally offended by this. If you want to call in and talk about what I'm talking about, you got something else you want to talk about, you can give me a call. Let me give you the phone number here. I'm going to say it slow because I was told I do it too fast. It's 559-561-8225. The number once again is area code 559-561-8225. And the chat room's full of people, but none of them have identified themselves, so I can't get info through the chat room. When Stacy gets her computer back from repair, I'm sure you guys will jump in, because I know you guys like her better than me, and you want to talk to her, you don't want to talk to me. That's fine, I don't care. Yeah, we'll be getting she got viruses from going over to those Peruvian porn sites and doing research, she said. Okay, I'm just kidding. I was seeing if you were listening. Let's see here. I know. I'm just seeing if people are listening. Now, many men of God have been soldiers. You all know about David. I mean, David wrote a ton of the Psalms. And Psalm 144, that and Psalm 91 are probably two of my favorite Psalms. King David was a man after God's own heart. He's the writer of much of Psalms as well as a great soldier. And here's Psalm 144, verses 1 and 2. Praise be to the Lord, my rock, who trains my hands for war, my fingers for battle. He is my loving God and my fortress. Let's see who's calling. Okay, we're on the air. Who are you?
You know who it is.
Hey, what's up?
Giving you a call, like we talked about earlier, was down at the border this weekend, and with the stuff that happened with Arizona.
Yes.
Definitely, we were very happy to have that happen, showing pictures of the, you know, people coming across the border over in Arizona and other places, which you and I know, you know, goes on all the time. Since you've got a different audience now, or an expanded audience.
Right.
One of the places we were at was what's called Red Rocks, which is over by the gun club over by Boulevard.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, there's just big holes, you know, where easy to come through. Some of our group went up further up towards Red Rocks to look for water bottles, you know, full water bottles that, you know, people were left behind to puncture them.
Yeah.
And at one of the openings, I saw a bunch of tracks, so I started tracking them and found the little booties that they put over their shoes and all that. And so, as Arizona does clamp down and do this, even though Obongo or Obama won't be real happy with that, that's going to be more people are probably going to come through California because it's more liberal and more, you know, prone to be helpful to the illegal invaders coming in.
Well, actually, I heard this problem was solved because Harry Reid about 2 hours ago, at least I got emails about 2 hours ago, said he welcomes all the illegal aliens in Nevada so they can all just go there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Out of California up there if you want some.
Yeah, you know, just I think they should have buses picking them up at the border and let Nevada pay for it, and just drive them all up there or fly them in.
They can have some of the casino buses come down, pick them up, drive them up there, give them a couple free tokens to play at the casinos, and let them enjoy the buffets and all that. And
there you go.
Coming for government money, the casinos can pay for it.
Great point. And it ties in, you know, and that's the format here, folks, if you're new to the show. I don't care if you got a piece of news and you want to share it. It doesn't matter if I'm talking about it. But the Bible tells us strongly to obey the landmarks of our forefathers. That means borders, folks. So this is an issue that has every I can apply the Bible to just about every problem in America. Our porous borders are unbiblical. And our government, doing what they're doing now, they're threatening a lawsuit. Injunctions, just about everything. I can't wait for them to send the troops in, just like they did during forced busing, and nationalize the Arizona Guard to allow people to come in. This is going to be a good one. I forgot her name, the governor of Arizona. She's a hero for signing that legislation. That's a great, great, great topic. Thanks for bringing it in.
One of the interesting things down where we were doing our training down there, you can see where the old fence was, and then under Bush where they started building a new fence, which is higher, better, and stronger.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently Obongo's completely cut off the funding once all buildings ceased on that. And, you know, if they're serious enough on getting through, whether it's, I mean, you've been down there as I have, and there's a number of places where there's erosion channels underneath
yeah.
the steel fence there, and they come through there. That's one over by a Tierra del Sol.
Right.
The road that goes along there was a hole, and they welded up the rebar over it. And then on the American side, they spray-painted it, "No Moss."
No more, yeah.
So.
Well, it's sad because every issue that's plaguing the economy today is not the fault of the illegal alien. I know that. But can you imagine if suddenly 20 million jobs were opened up to legal citizens?
It's not only the jobs. Like here for California, if you take an average Mexican family with three kids, and they're in school,
uh-huh.
California figures $10,000 for every kid in school.
Yeah.
And then if they're getting food stamps and other things, they may be getting $50,000 worth of help and aid and medical stuff. And if the guy's working at a restaurant or whatever, making, you know, several $1,000 a year, he may pay, you know, under $1,000 in taxes that get taken out as far as Social Security and the other stuff.
Right.
So when you compare, he may be paying $1,000 to $1,500 in taxes that are taken out, and he's getting $50,000, including his kids being in school, worth of stuff. If the illegals went back to their country and applied legally to come here to Spain, to wherever they want to go, but did it legally, then not only the jobs available, but the drain on the California economy as far as hospitals.
The collateral costs are huge.
All the other stuff. Then you put things back right the way it should be. And there'll be a lot of job openings for people that, whether they want to do janitorial work, doing the construction trade has just been decimated by the number of illegals coming in to do drywall, concrete, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, cut half of what a legitimate contractor would do.
And the other thing is, you talked about the school population. It's somewhere around 48% are illegal in some areas of Southern California. They wouldn't have to hire as many teachers, so they could put more money into the classroom. They would have better teacher-student ratios. Not that I'm a fan of public education. I'm all about homeschooling. You'll learn that if you listen to the show for more than a week. But the crime rate would go down. Our prisons are so full of illegals that they don't want to repatriate because they know they're just going to be let go. It would solve a lot of problems. But I know, in my wildest dreams, we could never even get this so-called Republican governor to sign anything like that. So God bless Arizona. It's looking better all the time, but I think it's going to put a stronger burden on the other three states along the border.
Well, the city of Santa Ana is one that you talked about that's just overflowing with illegals, both in, you know, for the schools and the other stuff. Like you said, I'm glad that Arizona did what they did. It will make it tougher because they'll go to other states rather than the fines and penalties for over there, plus for the people hiring illegals, be it a gardener, be it a day laborer to, you know, pull weeds in the backyard, whatever, which is the way it should be. We're not, you know, loading them on barbed wire buses, sending them back. We're just cutting off the source, you know, incentive for them to come here, and obviously fines to do that.
Well, it's a common sense approach.
Exactly.
You deal with the demand, you deal with the sort. They're doing a full 360 defense on this, and I love it. And they're
to be
nice praised.
If Texas and New Mexico and some of the other ones would follow suit. Obviously, California is
not
so much of a liberal jerk state.
Yeah, the only way we're going to get that is after the revolution, if we put in a decent... of course, we're going to be like eight different states here in California, but who's ever on the border down there takes care of it, you know, then it'll be good. The fallout from this is going to be very, very fun to watch. We've already seen violent protests on Saturday from the Aslan, the Mecha, all these thug... La Raza, they're terrorist groups. They're no different to me than Hamas. They're committing just as many murders and crimes. They're just not using bombs yet to do it.
Well, it's like came out in the news that there are more kidnappings in Phoenix, Arizona than anywhere else in the world, and most of that's drug-related type stuff.
Well, just here. Okay, we have Fresno's the big city to our northwest. Visalia's just west of us, and Tulare's a little... Every one of those cities in the last 5 days has had shootouts with AK-47s on the street. Our homicide level for the area is double what it was last year. They just showed a 15-year-old kid he ambushed cops with an AK-47, and they gunned him down. Well, they didn't gun him down. He deserved it.
I thought those were illegal.
Well, they are illegal, but only gang members have AK-47s, Stace.
Well, it's like you said, they're the equivalent to Hamas over here in the U.S.
Right.
Because they're acting as terrorists and... just the wrong kind of people to have around. They're not law-abiding. They're not fitting into society. Instead, they want to create their own little world.
And you know who's really paying the price, especially in L.A., are the African-American families that have been there for generations. They're being slaughtered.
I've talked to you some of the time when I talked to you as far as Terry Anderson has a radio show down here, so he's black, and is just pissed at what the Mexicans have done to the black community. The black jobs, the black people that had, whether it was their own drywall business or janitorial service or whatever it was that they were doing, now all of a sudden they're getting rooted out by the Mexicans that come in and you know, work for less, and they lose the jobs.
And it's 10 times worse than it was 10 years ago, and they said it wasn't a big problem then. And it's only getting worse. And what it is, it's and I say it a lot on the show, It's an outside pressure that the New World Order types are using to keep us off of our balance.
But it's also part of a Vulcanization.
Yeah.
Instead of, it used to be Americans were united.
Yes.
In the cause of liberty. Now we have our own little clique for the Mexicans, for the this, for the Puerto Ricans.
Chinatown,
and
everything.
Divided in little subgroups that aren't united together. You know, when people came here from Ellis Island, if they were German or Italian or whatever, within months, other than the older ones who would have a hard time, they learned to speak English.
Yeah.
They were proud to be Americans. Whatever their heritage was, they were proud to now be an American. And now everybody wants their own, you know, whether it's Cinco de Mayo or, you know, celebration for this and that.
Yeah.
And they're not united as we were at the founding.
But that's part of the plan. If they can separate us, we can't be an awesome force that it'll be hard to overcome. But if they keep us all isolated and they pick off one group here, one group there, we're all like, hey, I call it the Serengeti syndrome. It's like the zebras are like, hey, they're going after the yaks right now, and then the giraffe are like, hey, they're only going after the gazelle, so we don't care, you know. But when they start preying on all of us, it'll probably be too late for the sheep.
Like with what happened with Dietrich Bonhoeffer over in Germany.
Yeah,
same thing.
Right.
And you know, one thing you bring up with being, you know, a militant Christian show is that, you know, no matter what race, no matter what ethnicity,
no matter
what gender, we can all unite in the cause of Christ and being Christians.
Yeah.
And the liberty that our founding fathers gave us, which was liberty under God, not a privilege from government,
a revocable permit.
Yep.
Yeah. And if we keep focusing on that, then maybe we can reunite some of the sheepdogs that are out there. The problem is, I think the bulk of the sheep are so brainwashed and so dependent upon the handout, you know, to put it simply, that they don't want to risk anything. And they're so easily stricken by fear. And those are the people that are our worst enemy. I fear more that guy down the street that's watching me, that will turn me in for a case of food, rather than I do the jackbooted thug that's easy to target and put a round in 300 yards out.
Well, the hard part about it is, like you said, with the true economic situation, the number of people that are out of jobs that now only have a single income coming in, trying to put food on the table, they can, shall we say, sell their soul to the devil and look for the government to bail them out of, you know, a government caused, although they won't admit it, government caused depression is the correct word.
Yeah.
Because, again, they're trying to help their family survive. And, you know, when you get in a survival, desperate survival mode like that, some people will lick the boots to make sure that their family has a few crumbs to eat rather than, you know, having prepared both as far as skill, as far as trades, as far as having food and items that you need just for California for the fact that we may have an earthquake or whatever, let alone.
Sure.
You know, economic hardship.
Well, it's about to get a lot worse. People don't realize here in the Central Valley, we are the breadbasket. We sell about 40% of the produce to the rest of the nation. They've turned off the water here. The water hasn't flown since last winter. And millions of acres are going fallow. And everyone's like, well, what do I care? I get my food at Safeway. Mm-hmm. Next season, if we get two seasons in a row like this, God has been blessing us. It's funny, they turned off the water, we've been getting rain, but it's almost just enough to sustain people that have their own groundwater. But next year, food prices are going to shoot through the roof.
Well, it's like one of the guys in the Central Valley had an almond orchard.
Yeah.
I think he had like 10,000 trees.
Yep.
With the water being cut off, all of his trees have died, and now the fire department's ordered him to cut down the trees because they're a fire hazard.
Exactly.
So now he has nothing as far as income, can't sell the property.
Yeah.
Isn't producing anything because the water's been, you know, confiscated for the, you know, little Delta critter is not indigenous to this area.
And you can hear it here, you know, on our news and stuff. It doesn't get outside California because they don't want anybody to know yet. But the Fabian sodomite socialists in San Francisco, they're planning this. They want this land to go fallow so that they can build, and this is, I know it sounds stupid, giant windmill farms out here to power their city. But they use the environmentalist card and they're going after this fish, right? This little tiny smelt. But the water source for San Francisco is the Hetch Hetchy Reservoir. Well, now the environmentalists are going after that. So they unleashed a demon on us, and it's biting them because now their water source may get cut off.
Well, you look at what Mark Conkey talks about back in Detroit as far as the number of city blocks that have just been leveled because of everybody
sure.
leaving the plight there.
Yep.
And it's turning
so where
back
farms
into
are.
An urban forest or whatever because of both the economy but also the environmental crap that goes on. Instead of being a thriving, you know, place where Detroit produced cars and vehicles and all that, both
sure.
because of Nat and Gasta, but also, you know, re-ruralization, that it's no longer what Detroit once was.
Well, that's the plan. They don't care if you live in a city or if you live in a rural area like we do. There are dairymen and farmers that are killing themselves because they can't pay their mortgages on farms that have been in the family for 3, 4, 5 generations out here. They're so ashamed they can't provide for their families. They're killing themselves.
Welcome to the new world order.
Yeah, and the government, I know what the government's going to do. They're going to come in to solve the problem by buying up these farms at dimes on the dollar, you know, and they're going to turn them into windmill farms is one plan they want to do. Another one is they want to, because it used to be a marsh. Tule Lake, which used to be here, was the largest freshwater body of water this side of the Mississippi. It's like 800 square miles. They want to restore that. They want it to go back to this, like, wetland, estuary-type thing. People can't live here in that because it'll flood every year. We'll get flash flooding. They're starting to disassemble dams here now.
Yep.
They're taking apart dams that are used for...
water, hydroelectric.
Hydroelectric, water, and flood control, and they're taking them apart. Oh, Rocky Hill Ranger just jumped in the room. Thanks, Rocky Hill. He was at therapy. I thought you needed therapy, Rocky Hill. But yeah, it's people don't realize because oh, that's a California issue. It would be easy for me to say I don't care about those automotive workers. They were getting, you know, because we see they're getting $95 an hour. They work 4 hours, get paid for 8. That's how they separate us. Their cause is just as important as our plight out here.
Well, part of it is like Michael Kaufman talks about in his stuff on. The urban buffer zones and all that,
sure.
They want to herd all of the people, the sheeple, into urban centers and then
yeah.
rewild the out,
mm-hmm.
the farms and the other areas. It's like Mark talked about on his program, whether in Arizona or some of the other states, they're actually saying it's better put gravel roads in instead of paved roads because they're easier to destroy,
yeah.
but also of, taking roads out, literally tearing apart roads and hauling off the asphalt or pavement to rewild them.
Out here, we went to we have a community meeting because we're unincorporated, and the county board of supervisors come out and tell us what they're going to do to us, that kind of stuff, and we argue with them. And Ishida came out. I can't remember his first name. What's his first name? His last name's Ishida. He's our representative. And he said the county is planning on buying the old agricultural railways that are in the area. And we're like, why? Because we have enough roads and there's enough trucks that can move stuff around. He goes, well, the government should own the railways in case we need them for development. And I'm thinking Camp FEMA in my head. Mm-hmm. Why do they need railways? And then he says, we want to come up with a master plan for the county that will make people move more around population centers, and then out in the regions, in the rural areas, we can have big, massive warehouses for industry, and people will get out. We want to get people out of their cars, onto rail, onto buses, and then they will live, work, go to school, and shop within 2 miles of their houses. That's what they're selling the new California dream as now.
Well,
all houses under 2,000.
When you were down here, you noticed that they've got the metro lines, the metro gold, metro blue, and all that.
Yeah.
Then off of those, they're tearing down whatever type of businesses were there. Then they're building high density population, what they call them, condos or townhouses, whatever, where they're within, like you said, within walking distance of a Kohl's or a Ralph's grocery store of Payless shoes or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So literally, you hop on the Metrolink train, you go to downtown, you work at your job, do your thing, come back. Then you've got literally you step off the Metrolink and you've got, within 100 feet of these high-density, living places. And you're also within walking distance of, a movie theater and a grocery store and a restaurant and all that. So like I said, who needs a car?
Yeah.
Just hop on the mass stuff, but wait, I want to get out of town. I want to go to
the exactly right. They're trying.
So I can take the Metrolink or commuter train up to, Fresno or wherever
right.
and visit friends and...
They don't want the liberty. They don't want us to have the liberty because they call it a privilege to free association to drive a car. I'm not driving. I'm traveling, and I'm free associating when I have my vehicle. I mean, I tell people, don't you think it's absurd that I have to have a license to drive a car? And they go, oh, no, it makes sense. I said, well, why didn't you need a license to have a horse and buggy? Well, people didn't get killed. I go, yeah, they did.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just as dangerous as a horse, I said, that's a joke. It doesn't save lives. But they're engineering our cities to keep us, you know, in a 1984 attitude where everything's right there. You look at all these sites, you Google them, look for the number of houses. You know, we had this big boom or giant McMansions, they called them. Now California wants to outlaw houses over 3,000 square feet. You sent me that stuff about needing a license. Remember that?
Yep. Yep.
Now California, who's always ahead of the curve, is already doing that, saying you can't have a house over 3,000 square feet. You know, of course you can get, you know, variances if you pay for them. That'll, you know, help the Hollywood crowd out.
In some places like Santa Barbara, they limit you to 800 square feet.
Wow.
In the downtown part of Santa Barbara, they actually have, I think it's a 10-block area where you cannot drive a vehicle in there. You have to walk in, or if you want to ride a bike or whatever, but
yeah,
they actually take part of the business district where no vehicles are allowed. Even delivery stuff is not allowed in.
See, this is what I talk about. That's why I do this show, because people need to see the multi-front attack that is on us. It's not just Christianity. It's not just in our schools. It's not just, you know, the Second Amendment. These people get these single items and run with them. They're missing the whole view.
Well, instead of having a single crack in the dike, there's hundreds of them, like you're saying, whether it's the environmental movement, whether it's, you know, OSHA, whether it's air quality management district, all kinds of different ways that they're crushing business, crushing freedom and all that entrepreneurship. And you may focus on the one part because it affects you or your family or your business, but like you said, the farmers, I've got enough to deal with. OSHA's down my throat, you know, whatever it is. So there's no way a person can fight all the battles that are going on. You pick one or two battles that you feel you can be effective in.
Sure.
Support those causes, get involved with it, and hopefully others will pick up in other areas, you know, that the battle's going on.
Now, to give you an example, we were talking about how they're trying to compress us into, you know, high rises, smaller areas. Rocky Hill Ranger just sent me this link. This is breaking news from WGN-TV. State reps in Illinois asking for National Guard to be deployed on Chicago streets due to high crime-plagued areas. See? If they get all the people in the cities, then they can rise. It's just like Warsaw Ghetto. When they moved the Jews into the ghettos, it made them easier to manage, except for, like, you know, the ones that fought back, right?
Well, so, the thing about it is also the people, if you look at World War II, either in Poland or, you know, some of the other countries that Germany invaded, the people in the country where they could grow their own food, have chickens, and, you know, room to, shall we say, go different directions,
yeah,
fared far better than those that were trapped in the urban high-density zones where,
yeah,
by blocking off certain roads, all of a sudden you've got the rats pinned in,
mm-hmm,
and you can slowly ship them out to other re-education places,
sure,
resorts, and things like that.
Okay, well, we're going to take a break right now. Why don't you put up our DJ Store commercial? Get that.
Take care.
Dude.
Good luck on the show.
Talk to you later, Steve. Thanks for calling in,
thanks,
brother.
Bye.
Bye. Okay, we're going to be back after this break in a song. I need to get some water. Go ahead and play it when you can. We're having a little bit of lag. Thank you for listening to the Dutch Jones Radio Program. And if you get nothing else from our show, there should be two things that you learn. One is, you need to work together with other like-minded people. And number two, you need the basic equipment to keep from becoming a refugee. So whether you're looking for a water filter, tactical gear, surplus gear, or just want to look into some new survival equipment, you need to check out djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk. We carry surplus, and we carry new lines from MilSpec and Voodoo Tactical. And if you don't see it on our website, please send us a message and we'll find it for you. So if you're going to need the gear anyway, why not buy it from us? You'll get it for cheaper than you will from the source, and it'll help out the ministry here at the Dutch Jones Radio Program. So whether you're new or been in this for a while, check out djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk. I'd like to actually play that whole song because it kind of fits what we're about to talk about. That was Poker Face. I should have played the whole thing. We're going to play a little bit more of it. I like using them for bumper music. Poker Face. That was Control, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Well, that's what's going on in Chicago. And thanks to our very special friend, Rocky Hill Ranger from the Exeter Militia. The Exeter Militia, the fine town of Exeter, California. Yes, there are militias in California, all you guys out there. We're holding the line behind enemy lines here. Here's the story that was sent to me by Rocky Hill Ranger. State reps asking for National Guard presence in Chicago. Fritchie and Ford want guard in communities plagued by daily violence. Sunday, two state representatives called for the National Guard to come in and help stabilize Chicago communities plagued by daily violence. State Representative John Fritchie from the North Side, sounds like a gang reference, and Representative LaShawn Ford from the South Side urged Governor Quinn to deploy the Guard in Chicago. The state reps aren't talking about having National Guard troops with tanks in the streets or taking over neighborhoods or walking around with machine guns. Well, if they do that, they're just going to get mugged. If they're not going to have their weapons, I don't know what the point of this is. They say the Guard's presence alone will go a long way. Yeah, you're going to have gangs ripping off the camouflage and whatever they have. They're going to send a bunch of National Guard down into the worst parts of Chicago? I hope we have more leaders like this when the revolution starts. Superintendent Weiss, W-E-I-S-S, Weiss, who served 6 years in the military, would rather see stricter gun laws, of course, and the street code of silence broken down, although he said he is willing to discuss the possibility of the Guard's presence if Mayor Daley is willing to. Every time I say Mayor Daley, it's like a long tradition of corruption there in the Daley family, Richard J. Daley and all that. But, yeah, they want to put troops in Chicago. It says they don't want to arm them. That's kind of like we have a friend up here, Rabbit, who's also with the Exeter Militia. He and I both ended up in the L.A. riots. He was with the Law and Order group. I was with, for a few $100, I'll protect your liquor store for an hour contingent. And we both have experiences from that. Even though the National Guard, they were given some rounds, I don't think they were allowed to lock and load. I don't know if he's listening right now, but if he'd call in, that'd be good. Give us a little thing on that. But when they deployed the National Guard to instill law and order, like what happened up there in Montana when they sent in that contract group and they said they were going to, you know, start writing tickets and stuff, we're getting closer to the edge, man. I mean, like Mark Kornke says, it's only a matter of time and place right now. When you have state representatives saying, we cannot control our own people, let's bring in a bunch of people from the National Guard. Which is funny, because they're wearing like really old camouflage, stuff I haven't seen for a while. They don't have any of the digital or anything. Of course, it could just be a stock photo of ROTC guys or something. But when government elected officials are doing that, somebody asked me, we were talking about it last night, I think it was me and the pastor, we were saying, you know, how do you know when it's time? It's a great indicator right here. Great indicator. When law enforcement can't do the job, whole sections of cities are like parts of Pakistan now. And it's true. I was a private investigator, bail enforcement officer, bounty hunter, whatever you want to call it, and there were parts of South Central LA that the sheriff's department wouldn't go into that bail officers would pay us to go into. The sheriff would show up afterwards, after we got everybody, you know, hooked up and cuffed and laying on the ground. They're not stupid. The sheriffs know what happens to them when they go into those areas. And sending National Guardsmen, I know nothing about Chicago. I mean, I think my greatest information source for Chicago is from Ferris Bueller's Day Off. But just, if it's bad in L.A., it's got to be bad in Chicago in those areas. And they won't even send the National Guard on the border with guns, and they want to send them into Chicago. You know, a bunch of Obongo's cronies must be just loving this. If you catch any more articles like this, anyone, send them to DutchJonesShow@yahoo.com. For you new listeners, that's J-O-E-N-S, DutchJonesShow@yahoo.com. Also, make sure you check out, what are we now? We're DutchJones.tk. And DJStore.tk. I already ran a commercial for that. And if you like this show and you want to keep it on the Liberty Tree Radio, drop by and send us like $5. And you can either do that through the post office box that's on our page or through the chip-in. Right now, to maintain the status quo, we just need $80 a month. And then we need another $89 a month for the satellite uplink and the power bill and to pay for the space here and have Lou Tripp email in chat. Put the email in the chat room for people to see. Request from our chat room. It's really filling up there.
Wait, what chat room?
And I'll do it right here. I didn't know which chat room you're in. Yeah, do it in that one too. Excuse me, folks, while I do this, I'm getting a request. I guess I say it too fast. Yahoo.com. And also put the website in there, Lou. Those folks over at Liberty Tree Radio, what are they talking about? Bullets again? I love it. Whenever you go to Liberty Tree Radio stuff, it's like they listen, but they've been doing it for so long, they don't always comment on what's being said. They can multitask. I love it over there. They're always talking terminal ballistics and that kind of stuff. I'm dropping parts of the M4 on the floor. Where'd that go? I'll find it later. But, yeah, we love being fed news articles, especially from outside our source here. We get the local, and, of course, I can just search anything all day long when I'm not working. But it's always good to send in articles. Now, I know we have a few listeners of the show that are National Guardsmen. If you're listening to this on a replay, I'd like to hear if you guys have heard anything about that. I remember when I was in the National Guard in Colorado, we were told we would never be used in a law enforcement role, right? Yeah, even in the worst blizzards, you know what we got to do? We didn't go into towns. We went out and fed people's cattle. The National Guard unit I was in, which was in northern Colorado, we used our helicopters to throw bales of hay out to cattle. You know, that was our biggest thing. We'd have flash floods and blizzards, and we'd go out. But we never went into towns. We'd drive around. We'd walk out, find cars that were stranded, throw people in the deuce and a half, take them to the local school, kind of stuff like that. And I really enjoyed doing that. Somebody started a show already called The Dutch Jones Show Sucks. That's funny. That must mean I'm doing the right thing. Somebody on You Broadcast has a show called Dutch Jones Show Sucks. That's funny. That's great. I love it. Yeah, he's probably like 12 years old, and I wouldn't let him use the potty mouth on my radio show. So, yeah, you know you're doing the right thing when 12-year-olds get mad and counter your show. Woohoo! I feel like I am somebody. I can't get on that list at the Southern Poverty Law Center's 40 worst patriotic, you know, dangers to America or whatever. But I can get on some 12-year-old's hate list, and he can mimic my show. That's great. Well, he's... Yeah, sodomite. But that's fine. Thanks for telling me that, Rocky Hill. That's cool. But where was I? Oh, National Guard. Yeah, so if you're in the National Guard, give us some insight. We've got a lot of listeners that are in the Army that send me stuff, but I don't have any Reserve or National Guard. Now, Reserves, unless I'm mistaken, I think the Reserves are usually non-combat armed stuff. I could be wrong. Things have changed since I was in. Hey, Jaws of Life. Yes. in a corporate store that... I stopped, let's see, Jaws of Life, the old song, Can You Hear Me, was playing at Walgreens Pharmacy Store last night. I stopped what I was doing because I couldn't believe the song was playing in a corporate store like that. Oh, that's the old theme song. I don't know if we have that anymore. Do we have the old themes with the music? I got it on this computer. I made the manager stop and listen to it. He was saying, yeah, we have to listen to that every night. Okay, cool, thanks. Welcome, Jaws of Life. Thanks for noticing. I got to play that song, too, by Mike and the Mechanics. Can You Hear Me Running, I think is the name of the song. I use it for a long time. Then I found out that Alex Jones uses it. Yeah, nobody listens to the word Jaws of Life. The words on that song are really good. I'm finding that out more and more. I'll play like, Carl Klang, and somebody will say, oh, that song's terrible. It's like some, you know, redneck song. And I go, listen to the words. Or I'll play, I'm trying to think what else, Poker Face. And they just can't get past, they don't like that style of music. That's it. That's like we play Men Behind the Wire. We've been playing that since the night of infamy, when they imprisoned and took hostages, the 9 Hutari hostages. We've been playing it on our FM, and people are like, "Why are you playing an Irish song? Aren't they? Well, what does the IRA have to do with our militia unit?" I said, "It's not about us. It's about those other Christian militia guys that were hijacked and shanghaied and being tortured and God knows what." So we play that song for that reason, because if you can find another song that pertains to it, we'll play that one too. But I'm not taking it down off the radio station, because we have a 40-watt FM micro broadcaster here. I went to pick up our 400 watt amplifier this morning, but the guy was closed. I'm going tomorrow, so I'm going to announce it again here. We are looking for a 48 volt 20 amp DC regulated power supply. So people searching on the internet, you find one at an auction or, you know, refurbished, because we're having a hard time. When I bought this amplifier, like an idiot, I come from you know, a little bit of ham, a lot of CB, I thought I could use a 12-volt power supply. We have this really nice regulated 12-volt, 20-amp power supply, but it won't power this linear amplifier. So we want to get our 400 watts up so we can blare into all the hippies' houses down the hill. Let's see. I'm looking in the chat room. Okay. The other thing that we're looking for is, I mentioned it, we've got some people that are donating Category 5, the connectors, and they're going to come in and help us install it. But we still need Category 5 wire. We need about 150 feet of it. It'll be less than that, but we want a 150-foot roll so we can then put in the other server and then connect to that, because we're moving the radio station to the interior of the building for obvious reasons. It's just right here. I'm out in front in the lobby of a library. For those of you who don't know, I'm actually transmitting from the Church at Cahuilla Ecclesiastical Library. It's also a law library. We have about 15,000 law books and, I don't know, probably 5,000 to 6,000 history and Christian books and Bibles. And we have the Book of the Dead. We have the Book of Mormon. We got every religion you could imagine just to study it. So that's here. We're in a research center. And they're getting tired of us because we're right here in the front. We take up a lot of space. We're making a mess sometimes with our wires going everywhere. So we need to get into another location in the back. And that, too, is going to be temporary. That's going to be where we put our operations center. We're going to put all our ham radios, our 2-meter, 440. We got a bunch of stuff that we need to set up. Because we're so far behind the eight ball here. Because we've been focusing mostly on... Oh, the political side of it, I'm going to admit. We did a lot of training. You know, I'm talking before I got here, but I'm part of it, so there's esprit de corps, so I bear the burden too. The militia here at the Church at Cahuilla, we got involved in politics, that kind of stuff. We got to make sure we roll up the windows if it's going to rain. Yeah, got to get out to the car, wherever the Lou put my keys. But now we're getting focused on the hardware, communications, medical. We've been good on medical. We've been blessed. We've got dentists and doctors and nurses that attend our church that want to be part of it. Some are part of the militia, some are just part of the support. And what we do here is we have like three layers actually. We have like the women's auxiliary, you know, that are going to be doing a lot of that kind of stuff. We have some women that are training for combat arms stuff too, because they, who knows, they may get through us, depending on what the threat is. To be honest with you, we train mostly for just the Drug Society coming up here during a collapse. Gangs, that type of thing. But there's the main militia guys. There's a handful of them that are able-bodied and still able to do it. Then there's the alarm squad, which is me, and all the other guys that are vets, you know, a couple combat vets, a couple just army vets that have different injuries or diabetes, all kinds of stuff. And we're there to support them, you know, logistically. And the good news is that because of what happened at the beginning of this month with the Hutari, kicked a lot of these folks in the pants. I'm the training coordinator here. That doesn't mean I'm an expert at everything, but it means that I can get everything together and get the right instructors in here and set up classes every month, a couple times a month maybe if you know the opportunity arises. So that's what we're doing here. And the purpose of this show, for those of you listening on Liberty Tree Radio, we're trying to get people to move here, especially those folks that are already isolated in California and don't have anywhere else to go. Yeah, we've been going on about trying to bring people here. We have, for California, the property prices are dropping here. We just, unfortunately, there's some land to the south of us. It was an orchard that made $60,000 a year average on its orange crop. There were three homes on it, and they wanted like $400,000 for it. A lot of money. But just now, across the street from our pastor's house, on a dirt road by a river, with a well on a mountain hillside, we're about 1,000 feet, but the mountains go up from here. We're in the foothill region, and BLM land and Sequoia National Park behind it, a three-bedroom house for $199,000, just went into foreclosure. If you're interested in that, give me an email. I'll send you a flyer, mail it to you. But we're looking for Christian militia people to move up here so we can, in the little town of Cahuilla, and we can have a presence here, and we can fellowship and defend each other. Did you get the back window up?
Yeah.
Good job, Lou. So that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to build fellowship. We're reaching out to other militias. At the beginning of the month, we went to a barbecue in a place here, and about 50 people came in representing about, I don't know, 12 to 15 different militias. That's right. There are a lot of militias in California. The problem is, outside of Southern California, where all the big ones are, you know, you got the Colonial Marines down there, you've got the medical militia, you got the Armenian militia down there, which is pretty cool. Here in the Fresno area, we've got all these little militias, with 5, 6, 7 families in them. And here we're family-oriented, so we count families, fathers, sons, daughters, wives, that kind of thing, pets. And I said pets because our cat's coming through and howling. Thinks it wants popcorn. So that's the effort of this radio show. We're trying to build bonds. It may be too late. I know that. We may be late in the game. But every day that we meet new people and we talk about radio frequencies that we can talk to each other on, we learn from the mistakes. We listen, I don't want to say religiously because that sounds pathetic almost, but we listen every day. We run Mark Kornke 4 hours, the intelligence report. We have some of the best people from the militia movement coming around. We've been doing it for over 15 years. Just people who didn't take it that seriously until now. I came in here 3 years ago all gung-ho. I came from a couple other militias with a public safety background and tried to get things done. But now things are happening, and it's happening a lot faster than I ever imagined. People always thought I was a chicken little. The sky is falling, the sky is falling. When Waco happened, and I was very angry and reacted the way I did to that. But now people are starting to call me going, hey Dutch, do you still sell MREs? I need to get some. And these are guys that haven't talked to me in a decade because they thought I was nuts. And now stuff's happening. You know, their pocketbooks have been bit. You know, the government's stepping on their pocketbooks, so now they want to become a patriot. You know, it's like that old, what was it Mark Twain said? I got to find that quote. Mark Twain. Are these alphabetical, I hope? By last name. It's in here somewhere. Mayflower Compact. You know, I think you guys know the quote. He said, in the beginning, a patriot is a scarce thing, you know, because the risk and the cost. But when victory is near, everybody jumps in and said, hey, I was with you the whole time. You know, that. Why are these not alphabetical? I got this really great book on quotes by patriots, and it's not alphabetical. But that's the way, that's what we're doing now. So I consider this my first official broadcast on Liberty Tree Radio, because the other two I was surprised by. That was cool. Is the show on a rebroadcast tonight? No. This is me, Rocky Hill. I'm here. I'm live. But it'll be on right afterwards again. That's the beauty of you broadcast. It just repeats the last show I do over and over again. So anyone that goes to DutchJones.tk, you can hear it from the beginning. Well, yeah, you don't want to go to UBroadcast. It's too hard to find it. Just go to DutchJones.tk, and as soon as you open the page, there it is. The player's right there. And so tell your friends, listen to it again. And if I've said anything that's a mistake, I want you to email me. I'm not an expert at this. I am not wise enough or, what's the word, trained enough to call myself an expert in this. I'm just a regular Joe trying to take care of my family and my community. And my church. That's it. That's where I start. Now, people ask us, they go, oh, you guys are going to be the next Hutari. We're getting that garbage every day now. And we're like, no, because we're not as big as the Hutari, and we're not as well trained as the Hutari. We're not as well equipped as the Hutari. We wish we could be like Hutari, but we're not. And they go, oh, you want to be like that? You want them to come and get you? I said, look, you're judging them by what you're being told in the horror media.
Right.
So I go, people who know them, I've talked to a couple of them in the past just because of their YouTube stuff. So if you want to think that's an insult, it's not. So, but we're going to act as guards for our people here. And we're going to, and when the real big, huge thing kicks off, if they're a giant, you know, if the Colonial Marine Militia comes up here and they're strong and they need scouts for the area, yeah, that's what we'll do. You know, we need to focus on our field craft. We need to focus on our observing and reporting. We've adopted all the stuff that the Michigan folks, Mark Kornke's done, you know, with our sit reps and things like that, and trying to get my people trained in those so that when they call me and go, oh, I just saw a UN vehicle, I go, calm down, fill out the report, and just use that. Don't, you know. So we have these little jam sessions where we all sit around after church on Sunday. You know, if we got new people, we show them Camp FEMA, we show them all kinds of stuff to get them educated a little bit, and then we, you know, we talk about new things, and we're engaged in the process of preparation. We're buying things. If we can't afford them individually, we pull our money, just like in Patriots, the book Patriots. We're doubling up. We sell water purification softener systems. They're $200 for the good ones. I tell people, like, if we can't afford that, so get four families together. They do 500 gallons, you know, an hour if you wanted to. It's not 500 gallons an hour. Why did I say that? 500 gallons a day, you know, if you set them up right. So share them. That's what we do when we ship them to Africa. The whole village buys one. So that's pretty much, you know, what we do there. And the type of training we're doing is to the best of our abilities. We are firmly blessed by the Lord where we are. We're in a nice little one-way-in canyon. We know the other ways out, but there's only one way in by road. And we're surrounded by oak forest, and the people who own that property are with us. We can train in the woods. We've got our own 300-yard shooting range, 200-yard really. The rest of it's uphill, so it kind of changes everything. And we've been doing it for years. The county comes around every time we do a shooting training, and they're like, oh, you need a special use permit. And we're like, no, you're out of your jurisdiction. You're trespassing. Leave. We're tax immune. We're not tax exempt here at the church. We're not tax protesters. We're just aware of the law. There's so much I can tell you folks that have never heard of the church at Cahuilla. Maybe you've... Mark has talked about us a few times, Mark Kornke, to teach them war video that's gone out and spread around a few places. I'd like to see more people seeing it, especially pastors. We're big supporters of Chuck Baldwin. Everybody here in the church voted for him for president, you know, because we don't believe in the lesser of two evils argument. I don't vote anymore. I just vote locally, because when they brought out those electronic voting machines, it was over for us. But we do act locally, politically. We go to the meetings. We speak up. We're going this coming Monday. We're going to be at a sheriff's debate, and we're going to ask about Sheriff Mack's book, because we've given them to both people. They've had more than a chance to read it, the people, that the incumbent and the person running. We're going to challenge them about martial law. I'm going to stand up and specifically ask them that if FEMA, the federal government, comes in and asks them to disarm the people of Tulare County, what will they do? Now, we've already asked the incumbent in an office with just our pastor there. He said, I don't work for the federal government. I work for the people of Tulare. But I want to see what he does with a room full of people, and most of them are going to be hippies and liberals, because that's what's in the area. Socialists. A lot. I mean, where we're at was founded by Marxists in the 1880s, so that kind of tells you. We've invaded the enemy's territory, and we've been expanding ever since. And that's what we're called to do as Christian soldiers. We're to stand in the gap and to push the full crown rights of Jesus Christ into everything that we do, every aspect of American life, the arts, politics, business, industry, whatever. You know, we believe there is no king but King Jesus. We will honor those leaders that are godly and conduct themselves in a legal manner and obey the Constitution. But other than that, we're not rebels. So if you call us rebels, we kind of make a face and go, you're not educated, are you? Because just like our fathers weren't rebellious, just like the Confederates weren't rebellious, they were reacting to tyrants. And we have a big conference every year in October. As we get closer to that, we had 280 people that were registered show up, and who knows how many more showed up, because it's free, and we do incredible biblical teachings, political teachings. We're trying to get Chuck Baldwin back here this year. Into our little community here. There's ample camping. You can go to hotels. It's a beautiful place. We are indeed, if it were not for the tyrannical socialist People's Republic of California, we would be as near to Eden as we can get, except for the gophers and the mosquitoes, okay? But the gun laws here are ridiculous, you know, and just more and more. We're in an open carry county, though, but they're trying to change that, not the county, the state. They want to get rid of the open carry law that if you're unincorporated, you can carry loaded weapons, and we all do, from the church, at least the manly men. Some people carry concealed. That's their right. They don't want to be a target. That's fine. But we're here. We are proud to be a part of Liberty Tree Radio's lineup. We hope to make many, many more friends with the listeners. We hope to not make any enemies. We may be different on some things. Who knows? That's not our goal. If we've offended anyone with our Christianity, our attitude as well, then you don't understand where we're coming from. That's between you and God, not you, me, and God. So save the hate mail, because I don't answer it. I just kind of show it to everybody, and we laugh at it. Like, look how ignorant this lady is. You know, she's telling me that I should be a pacifist, that I have no right to defend myself because Jesus was a hippie. You know, okay, whatever. We shouldn't eat meat because nowhere in the Bible does Jesus eat anything other than fish and vegetable. Okay, shut up. So that's what we do. That's how we are. But we welcome everyone to check us out. You can go to thechurchatcahuilla.org. thechurchatkuia.org and see some other stuff. There's a little teaser up on YouTube of To Teach Him More. We do have a YouTube page, but we don't pay a whole lot of attention to it. It tends to be more trouble than it's worth. I get a lot of hate and discontent from all the, you know, hippies over there. But you can go to YouTube and type in Dutch Jones is one word. That's J-O-E-N-S. And you can check out. I've taken down some of the videos. We had a really good video interview with one of our instructors, a Polish survivor of the Russian takeover of Poland. But he's getting kind of hinky after the whole Hutari thing, so I didn't want to scare him. So I took it down. Huh?
Hootery.
The Hootery? Yeah, some people call it Hootery. I still call it Hutari. That's what I'm like. Yeah, I don't even know why you would say that. That's an insult. But that's what we can do. That's what I needed to know. I missed the first hour. Yeah, it'll the first hour will come around here in a couple minutes. If you stay on, it'll just start up again. I am Dutch Jones. This has been the Dutch Jones Radio Program. We thank you so much for listening. Check out our page, dutchjones.tk. Check out our store. If you need to buy something, get it from us, and we haggle. But the money goes directly to buying more equipment and keeping us on the air. I want to thank everybody for listening. I want you to know that we ask the Lord to bless you in all you do in the holy cause of liberty, and that the sword is heavy, the battle will be hard, but the victory belongs to the Lord. We just have to show up. Thanks and good night, everybody.
Thank you for listening.
Yes,
bye.
Bye.
Now go away! Do it a second time!